do that? They're over 60 feet from the plate, throwing a 3-inch ball over 90 miles per hour. The ball's only in the air for half a second. How do the batters know when to swing? To find out, I'll ask two national experts in the field of perception. Dr. Patricia DeLucia is professor and director of the Human Factors Program at the Texas Tech Psychology Department and has umpired at the national level for 20 years and is even in the Softball Hall of Fame. Dr. Rob Gray is recent winner of the APA Early Career Award and winner of the Aloisi Prize from APA's Division of Engineering Psychology. He is currently a professor of applied psychology at Arizona State University and has even designed a virtual reality interface to better study batters' visual judgments. So, how does a batter know when to swing at a pitch?
First of all, you may have heard coaches tell their players to keep your eye on the ball. But the interesting thing is that at advanced levels of sport, the people cannot move their eyes that fast. And so that leads to the question of how does somebody know when to swing at a pitch? Some people have proposed that the batter looks at the pitcher during the early part of the pitching phase and then makes a prediction about where the ball is going to end up and then moves their eyes to that location and then, swings at the ball. So another possible way is that batters time their swing. When they time their swing, they're monitoring the ball's time to contact, and this refers to information that's available on the batter's retina, and that signals how much time is remaining before the ball is going to get to home plate. So if batters can pick up that information, then they can use it to judge when to swing.
The most elemental way that it's perceived is by looking at how fast an object is expanding, how fast it's getting bigger on your eye. That seems to be true no matter whether you're talking about baseball, a car, or a runway. It's a very natural thing to pick up for a performer.
So you're saying that this process of judging time to contact applies not only to sports, but to things like driving and flying.
Well, the goal of all drivers, we would think, is to avoid collisions with other cars, objects, and people. And one critical component of avoiding collisions is the ability to judge when a collision would occur. So, for example, to make a left turn across an intersection, it's important to judge when the oncoming car is going to get at your location in order to determine when it's safe to cross. Another example is with the rear-end collisions, where it's important to estimate how much time there is before you're going to hit the car ahead and then decide when to step on the brakes and how hard to do so.
Well, how can we use our understanding of perceptual judgments like time to contact to improve sports performance or to increase safety on the roads?
We know that judgments of time to contact are affected by various factors: how fast the object is moving, how large the object is, whether the object is coming straight at you or off to the side. And so by knowing how people make judgments about time to contact and the factors that affect the judgments, it's possible that we may be able to train athletes to use certain cues or look at certain locations in the environment and adjust their responses in order to improve their performance.
For example, in driving, people misjudge these kind of variables, like time to collision. Sometimes they don't use the right variable. Sometimes they use it. It's inaccurate, and they use it. We find the same thing in aviation. So we find that we need to give people help with the way they're using it, whether it's telling them that it can't be trusted in this situation, or, for example, in driving, we're working on warnings that will help you know when you're about to collide with something. After you've driven for a long time on a straight, open road, you actually adapt your brain, that the part of the brain that responds to motion, and it causes you to overestimate the time to collision, think you have more time. So just making drivers aware that there are these situations when you can make these misjudgments, I think, can help.
Do you think we can train people to know when they're making perceptual misjudgments? I think I could ignore a mirage in the desert, but can I learn to ignore some perceptual cues on the highway?
The big thing is it's a difficult thing to get across because we're so used to being able to trust our senses. They've struggled with this in aviation for years, with things like the black hole loose. There's, you know, well-known situations where pilots make mistakes, and they try to teach them not to avoid these situations and use their instruments and things like that, but it's very hard to do. So I think the better approach is to try to design technology that will pick up on these and warn the user, the pilot or the driver, rather than counting on them to know when the senses can and can't be trusted.
Dr. DeLucia and Dr. Gray, thank you very much for joining us today. So some of the same perceptual processes you use to hit a baseball keep you alive on the highway. So keep an eye out for those new warning systems, but until then, keep your eye off the ball and on the road. This has been another psychology podcast sponsored by the Texas Tech Psychology Department, produced by Dr. Frank Thurso, edited by Andrew Friedman, technical assistance provided by Paul Derby, and relayed by RB Watts, telling you to stay healthy and active.